الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world. We praise Him. We seek His help. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves. Whom Allah guides, there is none who can lead Him astray, and whom Allah leads to stray, there is none who can guide Him aright. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, alone and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with the truth, as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner ahead of the hour. Verily Allah and his angels send blessings upon the Prophet. O ye who believe, ask blessings upon him. And greet him with a worthy greeting. Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, in today's khutbah, we would like to examine some of the aspects of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى says I have created men and jinn only to worship me. I read this ayah sometimes. I used to read it, and maybe some of you as well. I speak for myself here. This ayah seemed to convey some special conveyance to the men and jinn, because this is the only two creatures that Allah mentioned in this ayah that He created to worship Him. But in fact, does this ayah make the men and jinn distinct from the rest of the creation? And the answer is no. Why? Because everything worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think this ayah is telling us you're no different than the rest of the creation, in that you have the same responsibility to me, Allah, and that's to worship me just as everything else does. So why would Allah have to say this to us? There is a unique aspect to the makeup, the khuluq, the character of a human being, and that is that the human being has the capacity to disobey Allah in a certain sense. He can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the earth and the sky, He said when the sky was still smoke, He said, come together willingly or unwillingly. He didn't give them a choice about coming together. He just gave them a choice about how they were going to do it. And the ayah says that the earth and the sky said, we come together willingly. So this gives us some indication that at some point in time, the earth and the sky had the ability to choose. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't tell them, give them that choice of willingly or unwilling if they couldn't choose how they were going to do it. And they chose, as the ayah says, to come together willingly. Now, the human being, Allah says He offered me a manner to trust, the ability to cont- continued to do this to the earth, the sky, and the mountains, and they all said, no, we don't want this. We're afraid of this ability to choose, because you can choose wrong. You can make a mistake. So it seems that sometime in the past, after they made this decision to come together willingly, the earth and the sky basically abandoned that privilege, that ability. They didn't accept it. They said, that's enough, Allah. We did it once. We chose the right thing. We don't want to choose anymore. You make us like you want us to be. But the human being said, no, you know, I still want to hold on to that ability. And Allah said, verily, man is oppressive and he's foolish. But it's our choice. Just as all the other things in the creation said, no, we don't want this. The human being said, yes, give it to me. They were afraid of it. We said, we'll take it. We can handle it. We can deal with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because we made this choice, he will punish the hypocrites, men and women. He will punish the wrongdoing men and women, but he will turn in mercy to those who believe in him. So in retaining this ability to choose, this is what makes the human being unique, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to remind us of why he created us. Because we can lose sight of that. We can start to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to run the world or rule the world. And we see people trying to do that every day. We can start to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to get as much money as we can, or to gather as much of the good things of the life of this world as we can. We may think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to have authority over other people. We may think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us just for us. So you see the danger in having this ability to decide how you're going to see things, how you're going to obey Allah, because you're going to obey Allah willingly or unwillingly, just as he told the earth and the sky. You're going to obey Allah. If you obey Allah willingly, you get the thawab that comes along with obeying Allah willingly. If you think you disobey Allah, oh, I'm not going to do it that way, Allah will give you the privilege not to do it that way. But again, you are under the laws that Allah created for people who don't do what he said do. You can't escape that. The hellfire is not for the believing people. And the Jannah is not for the unbelieving people. And you can't change that. No one can. So if you want the Jannah, you have to believe, you have to obey Allah willingly. If you want the Jahannam, then you obey Allah unwillingly. And you go to where Allah said the people who disobey him or obey him unwillingly go. No change. You can't change that. This is the rule. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either way, you're going to be under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does he need our worship? No. Exactly. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need it. It doesn't benefit him. It doesn't increase him any at all. Who needs the worship of Allah? We do. And this is, again, one of the beautiful, amazing manifestations of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to worship him, and the benefit of that worship comes to you. But if Allah doesn't mean our worship, then why did he say worship? Because it's Allah's right. It is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Lord of everything, the creator of all, to be worshipped. And we say that in the Shahada, la ilaha illallah. No one has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone and without partners. So we give Allah his right willingly, and he gives us reward. This is Rahmah beyond the Rahmah of any creature. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs all of his creatures. The animals are instructed by instinct. The angels, the mountains, the inanimate objects are instructed by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we as human beings are given guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance means it's not a command per se, but it's a gentle, come this way, go that way, turn here, go here, do this, do that. Allah does not compel you to obey Him. He doesn't even compel you to believe in Him. But for those people who have sense, as Allah says, after that, have no sense, then you will obey Allah willingly, and you will see the rahmah in the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, since you have chosen to retain this ability to worship Allah willingly or unwillingly. And then even in His rahmah giving you this ability, Allah has given you guidance on how to avoid the pitfall of being an unwilling worshiper of Allah. قول تعالى تعالى واستغفر الله على الناس وقول هو الله الحمد لله الحمد لله فاتر السماوات والأرض جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع يزيد في الخلق من يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the willing worship of Allah, when we come to understand that Allah has a right to be worshipped and that He should be worshipped, then we become Muslim. Not Mu'min, but Muslim. As the desert Arabs came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says in the Quran, and they took shahada, they recognized that Allah should be worshipped. And they said, now we're mu'min. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. He said, now you are Muslim, because you have recognized the fact that Allah should be submitted to. But the iman, the fruits of that recognition have not yet grown in your heart. This is an indication that now you have to act on that understanding that Allah should be worshipped. Now you have to start to submit and worship Allah as it is His right. Because most of us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we fear punishment. Then after that, we want reward. But it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was reward or punishment, to be worshipped. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ability, and when we start to put it into practice, then we become mu'min. And we move from what the Quran calls the nafs al-immara, the soul prone to evil, prone to unwilling obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the nafs al-awwama, the soul that is self-correcting. It makes mistakes, but it's always striving to correct its mistakes, to move closer to Allah, to give Allah the right that is His, willingly. And as we move along that process, some of us go further and faster and higher than others, but we all should have that same goal and direction. Then we become mu'min, we become believers, because we believe that we can move closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do the things that we believe in. And as we approach the higher levels of that state, then we start to approach what the hadith from Jibreel calls Ihsan, which is the perfection of the deen of Allah, and we start to acquire what Allah has called the nafs al-mutma'ina, the soul that is pleased with Allah and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this state of Ihsan is very difficult to reach, because in reaching it, you have to pass over the states of worshipping Allah for fear or reward. You have to come to the state where you worship Allah because, not even just because it's his right, you worship Allah because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a difficult state to achieve, because just ask yourself, how many times in the last week or in the last day or two have you said, "Oh Allah, I love you. I want to be close to you. Help me to make my love sincere for you." We don't say that. Rabbana atina. Rabbana atina. Rabbana atina. Oh Allah, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Allah is most generous. He will give you. But listen to yourself. Have you said, "Oh Allah, I love you for all the things you've given me, for the mercy you've shown upon me and my family and my brothers and my sisters. Oh Allah, I want to have even more love for you. Help me. Show me the way." Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a book called Principles of Love of Allah. And in that book, he outlines some things. Before I go to that, there is ayah from the book of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say to the people, "If you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, and Allah is all forgiving, most merciful." So the first action that you should take if you want to achieve and hold on to true, sincere love of Allah is to follow the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as you can. And getting back to Ibn Taymiyyah, he gave some signs in his book that the servant loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first sign that he gave is love of death. That's a hard one. Love of death. Why? Because death is the doorway, it's the vehicle that takes you to the one you love. But you see, as Allah says, "Bal tuktibu ma hayatid dunya." Nay, but you love the life of this world. So you have to work in yourself to rid yourself as much as you can of the love of the hayat al-dunya, the things of the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ said, "None of you will really love Allah and worship the Prophet until you love me, your Allah and his Rasul, more than you love anything else." So love of death is one of the first signs. Intimacy with Allah while isolating himself from others. The Prophet ﷺ, even before Islam, he used to make it the camp. He used to go to the outskirts of Mecca, get away from the people, and contemplate. Think about the creation. He didn't take 15 people with him. They didn't sit in the cave of Hira and talk all night long. The Prophet ﷺ went by himself so he could be alone with Allah. Even when he made itikaf after Islam in the masjid, he would be in a tent with the flap down by himself, He didn't come make it to camp like we make it to camp, but we sit and we talk all night and we eat food all night and we do these kinds of things. That wasn't the way he did it. And this is what Jesus come here is talking about, intimacy with Allah while isolating yourself from others. We know that in the night you get up for the tahajjud, and the house is quiet, and there's nothing, just you and Allah. You can feel the difference than when you come for Zoom. There's an intimacy that's with you and Allah that you don't have in the Zoom most of the time. Next sign he said is to busy yourself with the worship of Allah. And we know that whatever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ibadah, is worship of Allah. So we should always be looking for opportunities of how we can turn our actions, everyday actions, into worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's remembering Allah much thicker. Take your tasbih, or take your hand, or take your tongue. As you drive your car, it's a kind of life. You know? These are things we can do instead of listening to the news or whatever show you do, or music or whatever you're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. But just compare that to what you could be doing. Make that choice. Remembrance of Allah. Allah says remembrance of Him is the greatest thing. Love of the speech of Allah, which means to read the book of Allah. And not just to get the thawab of the letters or the thawab of the khatmah or reading, finishing the Quran however many times you finish it, but to see what is Allah saying to me? What is the guidance He's giving to me in these ayahs? Humbling yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's another heart. So if we think, you know, I mean, we're programmed to think that we should have the best of everything. And things should always go our way. We like that. Allah says no, sometimes, a lot of times. Is it Allah trying to deprive you? No. He wants you to have humility. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّ هَالِكَ ذِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى خَاشِينَ. To persevere with patience and prayer, and this is hard except for the people who are humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You belong to Him. He can do whatever He pleases with you. And there's no injustice in that. Because Allah is not unjust to any of His slaves. So, as Luqman told his sons, be patient whatever befalls you, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is humility. This is humbling yourself before Allah. Being pleased with His decree. Again, this goes along with that. Whatever happens to you, مَا صَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهُ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That whatever happens to you, no catastrophe can happen to you or in the world except that it's already written in a book by Allah before He brings it into existence, and this is easy for Allah. So do your best. This is hard. But do your best to be content with what Allah has decided for you until Allah shows you the good of what He has decided for you. Simplifying the obligations of Allah. Don't overcomplicate yourself. You know the hadith of the man who told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he wanted to fast, and the Prophet told him to fast Monday and Thursday. He said, I can do more. He said, well, fast the 3 green days, I can do more. And he said, well, do the fast of Dawood, and that's the best of the fast. Fast every other day. And the man said he did that. He made a oath that he was going to do that. And he said when he got old, he was sorry he made that oath. Because it got harder for him to do. He complicated his situation. Allah doesn't require you that you do the fast of Dawood. Only the fast that's required by Allah is the fast of Ramadan, if you're healthy enough to do it. But there's nafl fasting in Monday and Thursday and the green days, and if you can, the fast of Dawood. But if you do the fast, don't obligate yourself to it. Just say, I'm going to do as much as long as I can, oh Allah. So simplify your obligations to Allah. Love whom Allah loves. Work diligently to achieve His pleasure and fear him and weep over your sins. Don't let your sins become comfortable for you. Seek power to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you do wrong. Ask him to shorten the time between the time you do it and the time you realize that it was wrong. So, with this, we have a Furqan criteria by which we can measure ourselves. So we take this, the hadith, the ayah from Quran, if you love Allah, follow the Rasul. We take the principle from Ibn Taymiyyah, and we see how many of them we can apply to ourselves. And if anyone here can apply all of them, alhamdulillah, you need to teach the rest of us. But my guess is that there's nobody here that can apply all of them. So the ones you can apply and hold on to. And the ones you can't apply yet, then you know what your job is. You know what your direction is. You know what your struggle is. Allah has clearly outlined to you what it is you need to do. And those who choose to do it, who use that choice they retain to obey Allah willingly, to strive in His cause, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you close to Him and you will be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, and you will be sincere in your love for Allah. Allah will be pleased with you and you will be pleased with Him. And inshallah, He will put you where those people go in the Jannah for Firdaus, and you will be among the Muqarrabeen, the ones who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma kirli muslimina wa muslimina. Al-mu'minina wa mu'minat. Al-ikyati minum wa amwati. Inna ka sabiyum kuribu mujibu darwati ya Rabbina alamin. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وطبعتنا مع الإبراهيم ربنا وآتنا ما وعدت على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيموا الصلاة.